I would like to hear from Stuart Hassel. Stuart, you can unmute.
How's that?
Excellent. How are you, Stuart? Thank you for joining us.
Huh?
Thank you for joining us.
You're welcome. You asked me originally why I listened to KPFK.
Yes.
And it's because I hear information that I can't hear other places. It goes under the surface, behind the curtains. And it's a main source for me to know what's really going on. Originally, in the 70s, I would come home late at night, and I would turn it on, and I would listen to Roy of Hollywood. Not the full 6 hours, but it became my favorite program. So diverse. Every day was a different focus. And I was often wondering, why don't they play some of this on the weekends? Because if you're talking about, well, I forgot what the mission is, but I assume it's about information.
We are losing your audio. We are losing your audio, your bandwidth.
You're losing mine? What do you mean you're losing it?
Oh, now you're coming in clear.
Oh, I don't know what happened.
Yeah, go ahead.
I've often just thought that on the weekend, you know, I hate to say this because I love music, but to me, the purpose of KPFK is to get information out there that people aren't really getting. And I've often thought it was a shame to be spending so much time with the music because a lot of people are working and they never listen to it. They don't have time, but on the weekends, they do. So I see it as an opportunity to maybe gather together the best programs of the week and to air those. Something else was, I want to say I really appreciate the multicultural attitude of the station, just bringing in different cultures and all that. But I have to say, When I tune it in and it's a Spanish program, I go to NPR. There's a lot of times now when I'm not listening to KPFK because of things like that. Not just that, but there's some other things. So I don't know how much funding the Spanish programming has brought in, but I've sometimes thought to myself, well, if I recommend KPFK to someone and they tune it in, and it's Spanish, they're not going to come back. So I feel bad saying that, but I mean, if it was like some of these other programs that were in English, but they were fortifying their culture, that's different, but a completely different language. I don't know. I think maybe you guys are kind of undermining what you're trying to do. You're losing listenership, I think. I mean, for me personally, there's times when I told you I'm going to NPR because of what's going on at KPFK. But I have to say, ultimately, my favorite program is Roy's program. And it sounds like he's kind of on the verge of being kicked off the air after all these years. And it's a shame. I guess that's a lot of what I had to say.
Okay.
Caught me by surprise.
I would like to address 2 points that you made. Thank you so much, Stuart. Has so great hearing from you and expressing your thoughts. That's what this is about. There is no reason why the Roy of Hollywood content, which does have feature a good variety of programming should not be played, not so much limited to the midnight to 6 a.m. slot. That's where I see the problem for me, that those programs should be broken up and dispersed. But anyway, that's another topic. And regarding what you said about the Spanish programming community has the same right as the English language programming has its community in this area of California as much. What is lacking is a bridge between the two segments or between the two areas, the two languages, which I have been lobbying for years. There has to be some sort of a bridge so that the Spanish is not all limited to a jailhouse, and it can come out and break up the monotony of the English so that people can get used to listening and learning, and also bilingual programming. We have the potential for that as well. So there's a lot that can be said. And by the way, the Spanish language programming as a block has raised a good amount of money outside of the station because of the continual preemptions that it has suffered and very disrespectful treatment by prior managements. So I'll leave it there. I see that Sue Cohen has her hand up. Go ahead, Sue. You need to unmute. I see you, Janine. You want to speak afterwards? Okay. And Margo.
I just want to say that there's a city where millionaires invested big grant money, and it's so big that they run the city now. Thank you. Someplace in Wisconsin or Kenosha, I don't know, somewhere around the Great Lakes. And they're billionaires, put in so much money that they don't dare lift a finger without the okay, because they fear the loss of the money. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Sue. Janine, did you have your hand up?
Yeah, I did. I'll try to make it brief. I've spoken a lot. One is I just want to say that, you know, the Spanish-speaking programming is one of the things that I think is so wonderful about KPFK, even though I wouldn't consider myself bilingual. Sometimes I put it on just to kind of challenge myself to pick up on things. So I think actually bilingual programming would be a very good idea. I think there's a lot of people that if you could recap what was being said, because what that Spanish speaking programming is different than other Spanish speaking programming that's on in Los Angeles. It actually is more, challenging to news and that sort of thing. It's not like other Spanish-speaking programming that's on the radio here in Los Angeles. So to lose it, it would, you know, it's one of the things that makes us special. One of the other things I wanted to add is the CDC, one of the things that it will require is a certain audience, a certain amount of audience. So we have to think about that, right? Certain amount of audience means that we have to be popular. And so that's a bit of the catch 22 with that. I think that that's why we have to have a big discussion, because, you know, it may serve our purposes now to get us back up and running, but then we become dependent on it, right? And if we become dependent on it, then we can't lose any audience, and then we're less risk takers, which is, I think, against what our, you know, our mission statement is about. And then the last thing I wanted to say is with the finance committee, I forgot, I think it was Hara in the chat was talking about how, you know, to plan, you know, we're in a situation right now where we should know what's going on month to month, because, you know, we have to project And that's something we're not doing. We don't even have finances, the financial statements from August, September, October, and now we're in the second half of November, right? 3.5 months that we don't know what happened. And if we don't know what happened, we can't project,
right?
So this is all part, and I submitted a cash flow earlier this year to the finance committee, and we didn't even really discuss it, right? And so the thing is that that's part of the duties is to take a look at the trajectory and make very smart decisions about the money we do have coming in and how we want to spend it so that we're better prepared for the months coming up. Thank you.
Thank you, Janine. I see Margo. Go ahead, Margo. You need to unmute.
Okay. Here I am saying something that I've said before. Yo entiendo español. Es muy, pues, muy interesante en aprendió español. Pero necesita translations. However, I want to say about Roy of Hollywood. He has programs that should be on at prime time. Luckily, one of them is Ralph Nader. But there's one called Scholars Circle, which has been bumped off, and somehow Roy puts it on. There's some other very good programs that he runs there. He used to have satire. He used to do interviews. He used to do a lot more. It is an interesting time slot, and you can listen on the archives. And I also want to say something that really bothers me and makes me turn off to KUSC or KJZZ is the repeats of programs that I've heard before, and sometimes there are repeats of repeats of repeats. And also, they aren't even announced. That bugs me. And then I go, and when I come, I hear programs that are just asking for money for other causes. That bothers me a lot too. So I think we have to have very strict parameters about this. And sometimes it seems like the hosts even say, oh, well, the fund drive's over, blah, 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 instead of demanding that you can contribute any time to KPFK, and it should be required that that be done, that, you know, you don't have to get a premium or you don't have to get it, or maybe certain ones can only be available during the fund drives. But I turned off so many times during the unfund drives that we really have to watch for a different way to raise money. And so that's important. And I just think that if you do listen to the real people who really listen all the time and it's part of their lives, they could have a lot of suggestions. And that's why the forum is good and this is good too. So, you know, it's got to be practiced and you can try out different things. And you could, I was just thinking we could have a survey of what people like and don't like and which programs they like and don't like. Maybe that would be something to send out to everybody and everybody could bring it out. Then you could do what you, I took a statistics course and then you could look at all the statistics and you say 5 people said this, 10 people said that, you know, and make a like a chart. And that might be something we could have people work on, some sociology people to do that. So that might be a really fun way to try to get people to tell what they like and don't like. And we could have more objective observations of that. Thank you.
Thank you, Margo. I noticed, yes, you meant like a matrix. And that's what we are trying to do at the fundraising committee through the funding as well, putting together a concise, cohesive way to not only gauge their attitudes if they left, why they left, but also get a temperature. What would make them return? Or what is it that they like? What is it that they don't like? All of those questions are kind of they're tied at the hip, you know? But I wanted to mention also, Margo, you have been complaining a lot about not only the repetitions of programs, but also that you are listening to a good program, your intent listening, and all of a sudden it gets interrupted with a promo for another program and a program before, a program later. And of course that should not be. That should be at the start of the hour. There's always 58 seconds to the hour, and then is when the announcements need to be made. The public affair announcements, etc. Thank you so much, Margo. I see Stuart Hassel again has his hand up. You need to unmute Stuart.
Got it. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
All right. Something I forgot. I just want to see if you guys are familiar with the 60 Minute program segment where they had the head of the Ford Foundation being interviewed. Is anybody familiar with that?
I am not. When did this happen?
Months ago, maybe in the spring.
Yes, I saw the episode. I saw that segment. Very good.
Okay. Can you tell us about it?
He's coming from a background of poverty, and he's really coming from a different point of view where even though he's the head of a big corporate foundation, he sounds like he's his head is in a good place, and he's actually looking for nonprofit organizations to give money to. And I wrote an email to Roy Tuckman about it, but I didn't hear back from him, so I don't know what happened. So right now, before this, I didn't review the information for that, so I would have to now do a search for 60 Minutes Ford Foundation. I think that should bring it up, but I think that might be a good source. He sounds like an unusual person. So that's about it.
Thank you, Stuart. I would be curious and also hesitant and cautious at the same time when I hear Ford Foundation. Okay, but thank you for that. I see Sue Cohen, you have your hand up again. I wanted to... Janine, do you see anyone else with their hands up that have not spoken? I see Steve Cohen. Hold on, Sue. Steve, you need to unmute.
There.
Steve Cohen. Okay. Bruce, are you there? Bruce Malm?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, go ahead.
No, I didn't have my hand up.
I wanted to hear from you. How are you?
Oh, I just been listening. I'm a listener and a donator. And it's just I don't know what's happened to the station, but it just is not programming things I'm interested in it anymore. And I think, Michael earlier got exactly right that not only.
Which Michael?
Aging out, I think.
Which Michael? Michael
Brenner?
Benner.
Michael Brenner, I think. Michael Brenner. That the whole broadcast landscape has changed. I've totally moved to the progressive channel on Sirius and Free Speech TV, and rarely listen to terrestrial radio anymore. So I don't know if KPFK can even do anything about getting on Sirius or the Pacifica Network. But I think you should look at alternates to just over-the-air broadcasting.
Thank you.
There's a lot of shows I miss. They're just gone, years ago. And right. So I just have lost interest in the station.
Right. Glory days. I am glad you brought that up, because some years ago we were on YouTube. We were on iTunes, and I remember being at work, and I would bring my little portable and connect it underneath my desk, and I would put earphones on, and I could hear KPFK at work, and I was not disturbing anyone, and it was through iTunes. And I went to the station one day. Excuse me. I went to the station one day, and I went up to PRA, which is the the archives on the second floor, and I spoke to Mark, the director of the archives. It was not, anyway, he's still there, and because the former director left. And I said to him, do you know, are you aware that we have lost the feed to the iTunes for KPFK? And he had no idea that KPFK was on iTunes. And immediately he got excited. He said, no, let me look into that, Bella. And sure enough, the next day I was able to tune in to iTunes via KPFK. There are many mediums, many ways that we can diversify. Where KPFK message can go out. So it's not limited to one or two or three. There are many, but is having the creativity and the know-how and the willingness to do it. So thank you for that. I wanted to go to, user number four. Janine, do you know who user number four is? Who is 5240? I know you, Ruth, I'll be right to you. Who is caller number 5240?
That's James Sagerton. I'm just listening.
Hello, Mr. Sagerton. Well, welcome. Thank you for joining us from WBAI, PNB Finance Committee Chair. Welcome.
Thank you for doing this.
Absolute mom. Talk to us, James Sagerton.
Well, I was really just listening. I don't have the opportunity to listen to KPFK very much, so I have a hard time talking about the programming. I would say, I could say a couple of things about NETA. And actually, I'm getting an echo. Is everybody hearing that?
I believe it could be Sue Cohen. Sue, is that you? No, she's muted. No, let me mute her.
It's not disturbing. I think you can proceed.
Yeah, go ahead, James.
Okay. I don't hear it anymore, so I think you took care of it. Thank you. About NETA and the concern about the missing financial statements or documents. First of all, Fred Blair pointed out, I think at your finance committee, that the August financials did go out. He did send them out. So I think everybody should look for them. And second, the September financials are the year-end financials, and that's what they use to prepare for the audits. So that always takes a little longer to get the November, to get the September financials together. But in particular, what's going on with the delay? There has been a delay in producing the financials in this recent period, and it's the result of one of the stations, which I won't name the station because it would involve a personnel question, but one of the stations has not submitted all the information that's necessary to produce the financials. We do our financials on a consolidated basis because we're one organization. We have one tax number. We're not five separate corporations or foundations. We're one. And you know, we pay to have our financials done on a consolidated basis as a result of that. Otherwise, it would be much more expensive to do. And so it's not NETA that's delaying the production of the financials. It's Pacifica failing to give them the information that they need. Now, as far as KPFK goes, KPFK is not the station that's having the difficulty. But all of the information that is given to NETA so that they can produce the financials comes from the station. So your management is working with NETA on a regular basis to identify the situation, to keep track of the account balances, what's coming in the fund drives, what's working, what's not working. And that's all going on in real time. So it's not as if, you know, there's some great lack of information for management to work with. Now, as far as what committees can do, one thing they can do is rely on the past financials. There's months and months and years of financials that are available that are telling the story of what's been happening at KPFK, and nobody is really acting on that information. That information is out there. It's been out there. For example, two that I remember is the June. In June, we had a KPFK $100,000 deficit. In July, it was $150,000 deficit. September, you know, August, not much better, but better. So we know what the problems are. We know we have a loss of listeners. We know we had a civil war in Pacifica, especially that especially affected and traumatized KPFK. We've had people on the air disparaging the foundation and telling people to divert their donations. We've got lawsuit after lawsuit after lawsuit, which explains a lot of the closed session, executive session meetings that have to be had on the PNB, because we can't discuss legal matters like of that sort publicly. It is a complicated situation. It's a heavy lift. I applaud everyone here who's coming up with positive ideas and possible solutions for implementation. I would say a little something also about the grants. CPB grants do come with strings attached, but the strings are relatively benign. They're not editorial strings that tell us what we have to say or do. They are strings such as they require that public radio stations with foundations at their center follow their own bylaws, do station announcements on time, you know, follow the legal FCC requirements for station announce, which is where they announce the call signs and tell where we are on the dial. They require us to have a certain audience. Actually, the FCC requires us to have a certain audience. It's not just the CPB grants we should be worried about with our declining audience numbers. It's the FCC. We have a license that belongs to the government, belongs, you know, to the people's airwaves, as we like to say. And if we don't utilize them effectively and have an audience that justifies us having control of those airwaves, we could lose them that way. So that is a very serious issue. We need to get our audience numbers up. Another thing the CPB requires us to do is analyze the educational and cultural needs of the communities we serve.
Right.
And that is an important responsibility. In fact, they require us to have a community advisory board. The community advisory board has three rights and one responsibility, one duty. The rights are things like to analyze management's programming decisions, to analyze significant policy decisions that are made by management and how it affects the service to the communities that are served, to monitor the programming and to advise on how the programming is meeting the needs, educational and cultural needs of the communities that are served. But that's those are the rights. Those are things we can do. The things we have to do to get CPB money is do some kind of analysis of those special cultural and educational needs of the communities we serve. And we have to remember also that the communities that all five Pacifica stations serve are not limited to the cities. I often hear people talking about the exact population numbers and how we have to match our metrics to the demographics of the city proper. But we don't just broadcast to the cities. We broadcast to the metropolitan areas.
Right.
So the metropolitan area of Los Angeles is much bigger than the city. The same right. In Houston and New York. In New York, we broadcast, we can be heard in four states in New York. Now, those are small states. They're not like California, but it's a broad area. And I will say, you know, speaking of a broad area, the, as has been mentioned here, the KPFK signal is the largest west of the Mississippi River. And we have a very small audience for such a large signal. So again, I say that is critical that we address that audience issue. We have to expand our audience. And, there are ways to do it. We know it can be done. We used to do it. And hopefully we will do it again. We must. So those are just a few things. And, I'll leave it at that for now. Let other people speak. But that thank you again for doing this. And I appreciate the person who said that they would be reviewing this program and writing down some of the ideas that people have expressed. That's very good. They, many of these ideas deserve further exploration.
Absolutely. And that was Ruth Strauss regarding the Finance Committee yesterday, which was a special meeting. And,
I've heard about Ruth and her participation. I've been listening to the Finance Committee meetings, and I appreciate everybody that turns out. Your Finance Committee is very large. Our Finance Committee at WBI is only 8 or 9 people. It fluctuates. But you have a great group there. I hope they can accomplish things.
Okay, but we can have that conversation privately. But I want to thank you deeply for being with us, and don't leave, because Janine and I are going to be addressing you shortly. And then I have a final comment or question. How long have you been on this town hall with us? When did you join?
Oh, I got late. I came in late. I came in.
And the reason why I'm asking, when did you come in?
I came in into the second hour.
Okay. That means first we read the mission statement when we opened up.
I wasn't there for that, right?
Right. When we opened up the meeting and I explained why and et cetera, and that we hold an educational license. And so you harped on that as well. And that is what we have not been serving. We have abandoned and not upheld our mission statement for many years, which is reflected in our grid, programming grid, why we have lost so many members and our numbers are so low. Now, I wanted to address the issue of the reporting from NETA. This did not just happen now. NETA has been with Pacifica since the contract signed January 2019. And I noticed that as of December of last year, things began slipping away. And as we have been struggling locally from the former business manager we had, not getting timely reports or getting the reports we had asked for, we had to actually execute two director's inspections in order to get general ledgers and other documents, which, by the way, the bank reconciliations we received that I looked at were a complete mess. Made no sense, and the general ledger had we had requested two general ledgers for the last 2 years. We only received one.
Bella, I'm not gonna comment on anything that involves personnel, current or former. I just want to advise you to be careful about saying things that involve employees, because of course we can be sued. We don't want to be afraid of that, but we don't want to identify individuals by job title or by name and discuss their performance.
We are not discussing names, are we?
Yeah, but you can tell if there's only one person in a position and you're naming a position, then it's the equivalent. So I'm just saying I'm not going to discuss that. I, as part of governance, I should not discuss that. You're not on the board yet, so it probably wouldn't be a problem for you to discuss it, but I can't.
I am on the board. I'm on the KPFK LSB board, and I was just reelected.
I thought you were just elected. I didn't know you were already on.
Yes, I've been on the board. We'll be completing 3 years in December next month.
Congratulations.
And and I have a 3-more-year term. But again, this has been a major struggle trying to get the proper monthly report. So let me go back before you interrupted me, which I understand. Thank you. Starting in January of this year, we began receiving our NETA consolidated P&Ls from the network later and later. And, you know, I can understand September because September is the last month of the fiscal year, which starts October 1st and September 30th. But there's no reason why every single month has been coming in so late. And we are not getting any other reports from NETA. We never did before. And so we have been removed from a person that was giving us at least other reports monthly and a summary of our station for our meetings, monthly meetings, though late, but we were getting them. And now we're not getting anything. So I am very perturbed over all of this, and this affects our oversight. And all around is very discouraging. But anyway, hang on. I believe Janine wants to address this, and Michael Novick, I'm sure. Go ahead, Janine.
Yeah, well, I just texted Michael Novick, and I asked if he received August financials, because they're, I know that I have been looking for them, and I haven't seen any of them come in. I only have until the end of July the financials. So, you know, that's an issue. If they've been published, that's great. I didn't know that, and they haven't been forwarded to us. So, but I also, there is a real push for us to have a full set of financials on a monthly basis. And part of what's missing is a trial balance. Trial balance would show us what we owe. So here we have a station or however our shortfall is being covered, right? I went back and a trial balance, a general ledger is also very important. It's actually every transaction, right? Because when we look at, on the spreadsheet, look at $80,000 of grants that came in the last year, and we don't have anywhere to go to look at what that was, right? Or if we get loaned money, we don't have any way of looking back at the amounts that we got loaned. From who? So there's a big puzzle piece that is missing in our financial statements. And this has been going on for 2 years.
No, longer.
There's been a letter signed by the full finance committee 2 years ago. The LSB moved to have it enforced, and we still don't get a full financial picture on a monthly basis. This is especially given the situation that we're in. This has to change, and there has to be some pressure on the national level for this. Otherwise, we're just getting things to look at, you know, fundraising, blah, blah, blah. We can't look at why, if you want us to look at why we're spending a certain amount of money or who's getting consulting fees, right? Independent contractors getting consulting fees, but we can't see who it is. That is not the way to look at financials and have us actually do something about it. So we'd appreciate your help on that, James. Thank you.
Thank you. I see Lauren.
Janine, Bella, before you go on, could I answer some of these questions before I forget what they are?
Yeah.
I want to start with the, there was a question about the audits, and I'm trying to read my notes, and I can't read my own chicken scratch here. Well, let's just start out when NETA came in and when they started to work with Pacifica, they gradually started working with individual stations. I think they actually started with KPFK first. In what area? What area was that? I don't recall. But they're now doing they're providing the business management function for WBAI and WPFW, and now for KPFK. And remember, when they came on board, we had not had audits completed since, I think it was 2014.
No, that's not true. No, no. That cannot be.
It's always late.
Pardon me?
That's not true.
They're always late.
I could clarify that, James. Go ahead, move on, please. That's not true.
We have not had our audits done in a timely way since 2014, is my understanding.
That's true, but what I'm saying is the outstanding audits that were due were from 2018 and on, and those are the ones that we caught up with. And the 2014 audit, those audits have traditionally always been late.
Right. That's what I'm trying to say. From about 2014, our audits were not completed in a timely way. By the time Winnetta started in 2019, I was on the audit committee starting at about that time. And at that time, we were four audits behind still. And we caught up on, it might have been 2016 when I first was on the audit committee. That was finally done. Then we got 2017, 2018, 2019. 2019 was only done in April of this year, and then finally 2020 was done in June of this year. And so now we're finally caught up with the audits, and Netta has been with us long enough now so that they are comfortable to have offered to create for us a new, what we used to have, which was a new unified chart of accounts across the network, so that each station is not having their own categories that they put things into when they're doing the accounting, so that when you want to look at things like contractors, things like administrative expenses versus program expenses, which is something that donors like to see. They like to see higher program expenses and lower administrative costs. But, for example, when you have the line that goes up to Mount Wilson listed under administrative expenses instead of program expenses, it makes us look, it doesn't show us in the proper light to donors. And so with a unified chart of accounts, we can get that stuff straightened out at all the stations. We'll be able to compare the stations apples to apples, oranges to oranges, and it'll make not only our work easier in the network, but it'll also make Netta's work easier and therefore hopefully not as expensive for them to create our documents. Besides the charts of accounts, they're going to give us a uniform template for the budgets. So all the budgets will have the same line items. They will be uniform throughout the network. Some stations have activities that other stations don't, so there'll be a line for that item, but it'll be blank at the stations that don't have that sort of activity. For example, at WBAI, we still have our holiday crafts fair, which we used to have years ago. We don't still have it. It's still there because it exists elsewhere. So these are good steps forward. They've offered to do this. When we first started asking them to do this for us, they said, well, that's going to cost a lot of money. We'd have to put people on that. And now they've offered to do it for us for free. So this is a great step forward we're going to have. This will facilitate our financial statements in a much better way. And again, I kind of lost my train of thought of where I was going here, but I'll just go back to say.
By the way,
that's okay. Can I get on the stack? I got my hand raised. I want to address.
I see you, Lawrence. Yeah,
let me conclude my thought, and I'll entertain questions.
Okay.
The bottom line is that we will be, the financials will be getting better and better. And I also wanted to have everyone remember that when Netta was preoccupied with the audits, first the audit in June, the 2019 audit, and then the 2020 audit later in the year. No, the first one was in April. The second one was in June. They stopped working on the other stuff, and they focused on the audits because we were in a desperate race to try and get the audits finished in a timely way this time. So they're doing a lot of things for us. It's moving us forward. And I think overall, it's a very positive development.
Can I just
And follow when, up. By the way, I'll just say, when we had our own
in-house. You share the air, James, because you're really going on, and there's alternative information that I have.
Yes. So if you can, you can just wrap it up real quick, and then you can do Q&A, James, for now, so that we can let Janine has a follow up, and then Lawrence, and then Michael. Go ahead, Janine.
Well, I listen. That's all great. A unified across the board chart of accounts is great. Across the board unified budget template is great. We can learn off of each other, but the fact that we don't have a general ledger and we don't have a trial balance showing what we owe is a huge problem, because when I look back, and we don't have a general ledger since the last one that we got ended in September of 2020. No. So we have a whole year of expenditures that we can't look up. We can't look at we have nothing to reference the spreadsheets that we're getting. We can't go and look at where this, you know, what's behind this number. And because we can't do that, and we don't have a business manager that can look up something, we're at a loss to be able to analyze anything. So I would, because you're on the National Finance Committee, I would like some kind of acknowledgement that these documents should be forwarded to us, that a general ledger and a trial balance should be forwarded to us as part of our financial package on a monthly basis. Because without it, we don't have a blueprint.
And don't forget, please, the accounts payable aging report.
Yeah, that's part of, and I can forward it to you, James. It's a letter that we wrote with all the documents that we should be getting on a monthly basis, and it's going on 2 years. And no one's even, you know, and not only that, but we have a treasurer that's giving Bella and I a smackdown, no offense, but a smackdown for continually asking for these documents as if we have no right. So this really needs to get addressed, because this finance committee can't be taken seriously, because we can't do our work. We can't have real conversations. You can't look at a budget going forward if you haven't been looking at what you've been spending money on. And that means detail. Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much. And I wanted to say some things, but I know, hold on, Michael. I know you're, go ahead, Lawrence. He just joined us recently.
Okay, thank you. So, to Janine's question.
And can you identify yourself, Lawrence?
Yeah, my name is Lawrence Reyes, KPFK Local Station Board Member and a listener representative to the PMB. And so to address some of the concerns that Janine has articulated, I want to be able to get from members of the Finance Committee the particulars that you are asking for, because I could request a director's inspection and try to obtain those documents. Now, I believe that the relationship with NEDA and KPFK has started in an imbalanced way, right? Because we request documentation, and then we're told that we can, which is preposterous, because we are employing them. We are contracted with them to perform a service, right? So, I don't understand that right there leads to an imbalance of being able to obtain appropriate documentation. Now, in regards to the audits, there's a lot of things that the National Finance Committee chair, and I'll be blunt with him because he knows I'm a blunt person, and the committee has done that I do not agree with. There has been some things that have not been transparent, and I don't appreciate that. So James knows how I am, that I don't pull any punches. I'm pretty candid when it comes to that. Now, in regards to the audits, the reason why the audit is late, because we still own an invoice to the auditor, which is an employee of NEDA. right? So that's why the 2021 audit has not started, because we have not paid our previous bill. Yes, you're correct, Howard, and I did receive your communication, and I intend to communicate with you, in regards to those matters that you bring up in the chat and that you have articulated in the past. Now, the reason, and the first thing that the audit committee has to do is, first of all, we have to meet, right? And there has not been a meeting for, I would say, close to 3 to 4 months. We have to engage an auditor. We have to engage in a contractual relationship with the auditor in order for us to start. So those things have not been done. So, again, the financial picture and the relationship of being able to obtain that information right now is an imbalanced relationship, if you will. As a behavior scientist, an imbalanced relationship is when there's no reciprocity whatsoever in regards to requests that are being made from governance. And then our finance committee, well, that's a whole nother story. I won't even go there, but there is an appropriate sort of conducting of those meetings that I'm very concerned about. So again, the new audit that we supposed to be engaged in right now has not started because we have not we have not met our obligation to the vendor, which is an employee of Nether, as far as I recognize. We have a lot of work to do in regards to transparency. And I know that Nether was brought in because it was a cost reduction. So they replaced the business manager. So to a degree, as spotty as the information we got from the business manager was, we did get our questions answered, and he did come to the finance committees and did the best he could in answering a lot of the questions. And I believe that that we need to have the person that's working with KPFK from Nether attend our finance committees in order for those answers to be provided from the members of the finance committee, which I am one. And thank you. That's all I got.
Thank you, Lawrence Reyes. Go ahead, Michael Novick.
All right. Netta, Bella, may I respond to that?
Yes, James. Hold on, Michael. Go ahead, James.
Yeah, so first of all, I'm not sure what Lawrence is talking about in some of what he has said. For example, something about the finance committee operating in secret, things that he's been upset about. I am not aware of that.
At the national level.
Yeah, I'm not aware of that. Second of all, he said that the auditor was an employee of Netta. That's incorrect. The auditors and the accountants cannot be the same company, because the auditors are checking what the accountants are
reporting.
Hold
on, James. Let me self-correct myself. What I meant to say is that Netta engaged the auditor. Thank you.
Correct. And that is correct. Because I
complained. No, but Netta engages the auditor.
Yeah, right. But we went to Netta.
Right.
I was on the audit committee when we engaged Rogers and Company the first time, and we did that through the audit committee. And then the Pacifica National Board voted to hire Rogers.
Yes,
and we're working on the assumption now that they're going to do it again. The previous auditor that we had fired Pacifica because our books were in such chaos, it was too expensive and too impossible for them to actually do the audit. It was very
chaotic.
Unfortunate.
Madam Chair, there are other people on the stack.
Yes, so we have got to go. Let's go to Michael. Thank you. Michael, go ahead. Hold on, James. Thank you. Go ahead, Michael.
Lawrence tried, I think, to get the audit committee to set up an auditor for the coming year, and it didn't happen, and hasn't happened, as he said. But I agree that the auditor has no connection to any TA. The auditors are, you know, they do audits. They don't do accounting and vice versa. Any DA does accounting, doesn't do audits. They keep saying, you know, I think some of the confusion because people in the finance committee keep saying that NETA was preparing our audits. That's not the case. NETA was preparing our books so they could go to the auditors and be audited.
Correct.
So I think people need to stop saying that. It would help people understand what the relationship is. I just want to say I did send to forwarded, I guess I should say, to Janine and Bella, the August P&L that was sent out by Fred Blair on November 17th, a couple of days ago. So I got it attached to the same email that had the fund drive documents. So I think if you search through your email, you should be able to find it, but it has been made available. But I do think that it should be made available sooner. I made a statement to that effect, and, you know, there are people on the National Finance Committee who are not fiduciaries. For example, the treasurers of the five stations are not directors of the foundation, and, in fact, don't even have to be members of the local station board to be elected as a treasurer. So I don't see why those financials have to be, I don't know what the word is.
Proprietary.
Yeah, I'm saying that they're sort of quarantined from the finance, local finance committees until the National Finance Committee looks at them. I don't think that's necessary. I think that can be sent to the local finance committees at the same time as it goes to the NFC, and the local finance committees would have the capacity to make a clearer and more detailed analysis maybe than the NFC can. So I would urge a change in policy by the NFC to allow that to happen. The other thing I think we don't get and haven't gotten in a long time is cash flow. And particularly at KPFK, that's critical. We need to know how much money is coming in and what is being spent on, and we need to get projections of that so we know if we're going to be in trouble meeting our payroll, so that changes can be made if necessary in the size of the payroll, so that we don't you know, have the problem we've had for many months where we've had to get money from other aspects, other units of the foundation to cover payroll at KPFK. And people need to be aware that probably additional payroll cuts will have to be made. There's no way around it, given our current income. I do think we need to start the phone banking and calling out. And again, I will urge you know, everybody to from the local station board to get involved with that, and for the membership coordinator at the station to identify people who have worked in the phone rooms previously. And you know, if necessary, we should get, you know, bonding for those people so that, you know, there's no question about the fact that they're accessing the phone list or whatever people need to do to make that happen, because we do have to do that prior to the next fund drive, which my understanding is scheduled for December 7th. So we have a few weeks to try to, you know, call people first. And I guess I'll stop there.
Thank you, Michael.